The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
And this week on the bookshelf, joining us to place his reads is Dave McRedman, CEO of On Pust. You're very welcome.
Thanks.
You're a big book lover, aren't you?
I am. I my first job was in a bookstore in London when I left Dublin in 1986.
What an interesting career you've had.
And yeah, well, I thought I was going to be an editor in the BBC or something like that when I went over, and I ran out of money after 6 weeks and got a job in a bookstore. And it was the first bookstore Tim Waterstone opened, and became great friends with him, and a gang of us built it up into a huge book chain in Britain, in Europe. I was sent over to the United States by Tim to open it there. And so books are absolutely central to my life.
Yeah. And of course, On Pust run the Irish Book Awards and all. Was that
coincidentally?
Was that to do with you?
Yes, I think so. I think I was asked when I came in, you know, would I look at it? There's a really good match with postal services. You know, I always say, you know, what's the most important post service in the world? And it's probably Amazon. And Amazon started off as a bookseller. So books are very close, the written word.
So tell us your favourite book that you want to put on the bookshelf.
Well, I'm going to go with Austerlitz. It's a book by a German-English writer called Sebald, W.G. Sebald. And I've chosen it because I get depressed when I hear, and it's mainly men who say it, who say, oh, I don't read fiction. I just read nonfiction. I don't read fiction.
It definitely seems to be some kind of a trend, because we have many people come into the bookshelf and women almost exclusively pick fiction.
Yeah.
And men almost exclusively pick nonfiction.
And it is, and I think that's a pity, because, you know, fiction is, I often describe it as just the nonfiction of our inner world. How else are we to know how we are? How are we to know what life was like if we don't have fiction? So Austerlitz, you know, deals with the most difficult story of all, which is the Holocaust. And it's the story of a kid who grows up in Wales, a miserable life with some Methodist foster parents. And he makes you feel it. I mean, it's a tough read, the early parts. But then this extraordinary character emerges of Austerlitz, and he was sent over on a kinder transport at the age of 4.5. And he finds out, was it when he was older and he was in a bookstore in London and there was a radio playing, and on the radio, two women were discussing being on a kinder transport. And he's going, that sounds like something in the back of my mind. He didn't know. He hadn't been told that. And so he then goes, and you have the whole journey, goes to Prague, he finds a relative of his mother, he goes, searches for the father. Of course, both were horribly murdered in the Holocaust. But it's much richer than just that story, because and it's quite melancholic. He's a lonely man. The narrator meets him just bumps into him by accident in Antwerp railway station. He's an architectural historian, Austerlitz, and that's where he bumps into him. So it is an extraordinary book in the way that I remember reading 100 Years of Solitude. You probably read it, Ciara. And, you know, reading one line where it says, you know, it started raining, it rained for 19 years. And that man said to me, you can actually say what you want. You can write what you want. You can think what you want. Austerlitz is the best book to understand the European mind in the 20th century. You know, in Ireland, we're not always at the center of things. We were at the periphery. We were very much at the periphery of the Holocaust and the Second World War. And I think for us to really understand how Europeans feel, which ultimately is what fiction tells you, I think this is a great book.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely read it. I even just that search for your origins is such a universal sort of a thing in mankind. And I love that whole time. I read quite a lot about it. And one of my favourite books is East West Street. I don't know if you read it.
East West Street is Philippe Sands.
Yeah, amazing.
Extraordinary. There's a whole load. Garden of the Finzi Contini's by Bassani. It was a really rich period of literature. But it's also Hemingway, you know, when Hemingway wrote Fiesta, The Sun Also Rises. All those books written, you know, between the wars, just after the wars, and it's extraordinary subject
that
matter.
That whole period of history that we're still living with its legacies, and we'll get to that in a little bit in one of your other books. But your honourable mention?
My honourable mention then is My Brilliant Friend, which I'm sure you've read, Elena Ferrante. The Neapolitan Quartet is just beautiful. The lives of Lila and Lenu and two girls growing up together. And it's written over four books. And it was given to me. I was ill at the time, like many people. I had my trials and tribulations. I was in hospital on and off for a couple of years over recent years. And I almost looked forward to going back to hospital to pick up the next book in the quartet. They are that good. So it's two girls growing up in Naples, in Italy, in the 1960s, and then how their lives develop. And it follows their lives all the way through. What's amazing about it is that it's both domestic in a way that a man, well, certainly I couldn't understand how harsh women are with each other, and yet how incredibly loyal they are. I mean, it made male friendship look tiny compared to female friendship, and they stick with each other. And it's true marriage, it's true affairs, it's true sexual jealousy, all of that. And then absolutely in parallel is Italy and what's going on in Italy, communism, feminism, huge intellectual debates. And if you like Italy, it's set in Naples and Florence and Milan and Pisa. It is just something that is so enjoyable. Yeah. And the great thing about the author is she's not known. Nobody knows who she is. She said once the book is written, there's no need for an author. And she's maintained her anonymity.
I think it's very interesting that we say men don't read fiction. We also say men don't read female writers, and you're bucking all these trends today. You obviously love this period of history as well. The last book you've read, one of Shane's favourites.
Ah, yes, Katia Hoyer, a brilliant. I say young; she's in her 40s. A brilliant young German historian from East Germany originally, and it's called Beyond the Wall: A History of East Germany. And she writes history from the perspective of people. So she finds three or four characters. She follows them. She follows what happens in their lives and tells the story. And I think it's very effective, because what she does is she brings out the colour of behind the Iron Wall. She says it wasn't all grey Stasi land. You know, we too, we fell in love. We had fun. We drank. We had careers. We had ambitions. We had education. Now, it's hugely controversial, because some people have been quite sniffy about saying, well, look, it's, and I think in probably quite a misogynistic way, people saying it's sentimental and she's coming from an angle which is all about feelings. And I don't know. I think it's very effective. She's got a new book just out on Weimar, where she actually goes to the town of Weimar and picks four characters from there. So that's her way of doing it. Very effective book.
I think it's very interesting. We were just discussing it in the ad break with Shane as well, that, you know, to me, it's sort of obvious that, because I think it's true of everywhere, that life goes on irrespective of what regime you live under, irrespective of what oppression you live under. You fall in love, you're concerned about your kids. Those are universal things that are part of what make up the human condition. But there's something in the way she's describing it that doesn't sit right with me, because to me, even though I fully accept that happens everywhere, that doesn't allow us to be apologists for oppression, I don't think.
I don't think in any way she doesn't sugarcoat what went on in East Germany. She doesn't apologize or appease it in any way. But what she does highlight is some of the favorable things that did come out of the regime. Like, there was a genuine sense of community. People did actually believe in the socialist ideal. And she talks about that. I just think she gives us a fully rounded picture. I don't get the criticism of her, I have to say.
No, I don't.
I don't think the book in any way sugarcoats what went on.
I also do think it's very interesting to hear different perspectives on the same story. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, there's, you know, back to my kind of theme of fiction, non-fiction, they both tell the same. There's a brilliant novel called Kairos by Jenny Erpenberg. It is the best novel. Now, it would be problematic if it wasn't written by a woman, because it's about a 19-year-old student falling in love with a 50-year-old professor. She's from East Germany, he's from West Germany. And gradually that relationship turns a bit dark, and it's really good allegory for East German state and how the East German state gradually brutalized people. So it's a different perspective, and it tells a story, and I would say it's every bit as truthful as the non-fiction history. It's an extraordinary novel, and it's only out in the last
I think it's
years.
Entirely possible for several things to be true at once. Yeah. Lastly, just as an honourable mention.
John and Paul, A Love Story and Songs about the Beatles by Ian Leslie. This is a romp. This is a guaranteed 2.5 days on a beach that you are going to so love. Make sure you bring your earphones. Make sure you listen to the songs. And it takes you through about 30 songs. And how they wrote together was so collaborative. When we've always had this picture of them fighting. They very much loved each other. And it is a love story. And it's, you know, a bit back to Lena and Lenu. Men do have friendships. And I think it's been way overwritten.
There's a suggestion in it that John in particular loved Paul, and perhaps romantically as well.
I think so. I think it's undoubted that, and I would say it was romantic in both directions. I think it was platonic. I think it was. The songs couldn't have come from anywhere else. Now, it made the other Beatles slightly jealous, and in the end, George walks out, and you feel for George, and then you always feel for Ringo at the back. But this is a story that is a story of our age and of, you know, the birth of music that we all love. It's so beautiful to listen to the songs, and it reminds you how fresh and modern they are, actually.
Yeah. Look, thank you so much, David. Some fantastic books going on the bookshelf today. That is Dave McRedman, their CEO of On Post.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.